You have your Bible, turn tonight to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, begin reading at verse 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 6. And Dr. Luke tells us, he says, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stretch forth and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." I want to preach tonight out of this text, if God will be my help, as Luke's writing out in his version of it. Now we know in several places, several stories in the Gospels that we see the story, but we see it from a different perspective. And I'm glad it's that way. If they all wrote and told us the same thing, then they would just be copying each other. But I'm glad that Dr. Luke wrote it just a little bit different from what they did. Dr. Luke, being a doctor, he said that there was a man whose right hand was withered. You say, well, why did he mention that? Because he was a doctor, a physician, praise God. And he said it was his right hand. Amen. And we see as his right hand, that would be withered. That would probably be, in most of us, that's our dominant hand. That's the hand that we work with. That's the hand that we use. That's the hand that we rely on the most. Unless you're Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph's left hand, he counts on his left hand. Amen. Praise God, he's born backwards. That's all I can figure. Amen. Some of us are born right, some of us are born backwards. And he just had to get used to it. But we see here, as we see this withered hand, and we see this fella, and now the theologian Jerome says that this man with the withered hand was probably a stonemason. Through the history of study and through the word and heritage that was handed down, he said he was probably a stonemason. Can you imagine how much trouble you'd have if you was a stonemason and your hand was withered? He wouldn't be able to earn the kind of living that he'd like to for his family. He wouldn't be able to do the things that he would like to for his family. He would even affect him down to his faith. It would affect him down to his spirituality. It affects him, plumb down to the desire of that he would like to do. So God is telling us tonight, he said, be careful, amen, about the things that we let wither. And I'd like to preach on this thought for just a moment, God, if God will be my help. Some things we can't allow to wither. Amen? Some things that we can't allow to wither. As we see this man, and we see how it affected him when he had that withered hand. Now that word withered means to be shriveled up. It means to be dried up or paralyzed. To be made useless. Amen? So that's what he had. He had a hand that was basically useless. I mean, it was shriveled up and made useless. I mean, what are you going to do with that? He said he couldn't do it. He couldn't lay blocks. He couldn't mix his money. He couldn't do what he needed to do to earn a living. He couldn't, amen, he couldn't reach and get the youngins, amen, pull them up in his lap because that hand was made useless. But I want to say now, we got to be careful, praise God, that we don't allow some things to wither in our lives. Because it'll mess us up just like it messed him up. Amen. You know it had to affect his faith. Amen. Anytime we're sick, anytime we're ailing, anytime things ain't working for us, it affects our faith. Whether we want to admit it or not, it does. Amen. And our faith just has to be made stronger when we trust it in, we realize that we're trusting in the Lord. And that he's going to take care of us, praise God, no matter what we face in this life. Because afflictions come. Amen. You start to go in the house and stump your toe and end up messed up. Amen. Really? I mean, just really messed up. You don't ever know. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. But we see this fella and we realize that there's some things that we can't allow to wither. Amen. Because it affects everything around us. That withered hand affects not only him, but it affects his work, it affected his family, his faith, his spirituality, and his desire. So we get that in our minds. I want you to realize that, because that's what we're going to look at tonight for just a few minutes. We're going to look how we can't allow our faith to wither. Amen. Our faith needs to be strong. It needs to be the biggest part of us, because that is a gift from God. For by grace through faith, and it not of yourself, it's the gift of God. That's what salvation is in the Lord. And we can't allow our faith to become weak. We can't allow our faith to become withered. Amen. Can't allow it to shrivel up. Can't allow our faith to dry up. Amen. We got to keep it solid. We got to keep it sound. Why? You say, well, preacher, why? Because the Bible says that, without our faith, we can't even be pleasing to God. Did you realize without a strong faith tonight, we can't do nothing to please God? If we're doing it without faith, we're doing it haphazardly. Amen. We're doing it on an impulse. We're not doing it because we love God, because we trust and believe on Him. Amen. So we got to be careful that we don't allow our faith to wither, because if we let our faith wither, then we can't be pleasing to God. But if our faith is strong, then we can be pleasing to God. Amen. You speaking of faith, look at Hebrews chapter 11. What faith is? If we realize what faith is, we can keep it from withering and we can help it to grow. If Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is what we're hoping for. I don't know about you, but my hope is out of this world. Amen. My hope is in heaven, amen, sitting at the right hand of my Father. My Lord Jesus Christ, He is my hope. He is the evidence of things that I can't see, but I know He's there. How do I do that? Through faith. And see, I can't let my faith wither. My faith has to stay strong. Because we don't know what we're going to face in this life. Day to day, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But if our faith is strong, praise God, and our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, nobody can move us from our faith. Amen. Me and Brother Rex is talking about those folks in the Philippines week before last. And they caught, they said ISIS come upon them, and they got them, and they began to question them on their faith. And they said, if you'll recant knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can recant about Him being your Savior, you can live. But they said, even the little bitty children are saying, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And they died on the spot. Now, the liberal media is not making a big thing of it. They're not telling you about people that's dying for their faith. Amen. They're not going to tell you, because they had some people that believed in something. They was looking for something, praise God. They had a substance, amen, that was solid, that was real, that they was expecting. And they was willing to give their life for it. I wonder today, are we willing to give our life for Jesus? Are you willing to give your life for Jesus? Yeah, it's easy to sit here now and say, oh yeah, we're like Peter. Oh yeah, Lord, I'd die for you. But when them folks go busting in the doors with them guns, big old machete to cut your head off, you might have a different opinion. But if our faith is strong today, praise God, it's that as long as our faith is not withered. But if we allow our faith to wither and dry up, praise God, we might not make the right decision at the right time. Amen. But he said, for by it, what? Faith. The elders obtained a good report. You know what that means? That means, Brother Rex, they got God's approval. Amen. They were approved of God. They had a good report. That's what he was talking about a while ago. He wants to be approved of God. He wants to stand before the Lord and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. You finished your course. You've done all that you could do for the glory of God. Wouldn't it be something to stand before the Lord and have Him say that to you? Amen. That's why we can't let our faith wither. We got to have a strong faith in these last days that we live. He said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So how was the world made? God made it. I got that question at the nursing home today. One of the older ladies over the corner, she said, right when I got done preaching, she raised her hand. And she said, Preacher, I got a question. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, how was the world made? I said, that's simple. God made it. Into that. Amen. God made the worlds. Praise the Lord. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to elaborate on it. God said He did. I believe it. God made the world. The universe and everything that's in it. She said, a little while later, she said, I look out and I can see all the tree things and I know that there's a God. I said, amen, He made it. Praise God, that's part of it. Amen. Bless His holy name. But since it's through faith that we understand it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem in my faith of knowing who my Creator is. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. But then he talks of Enoch. He said, by faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found. One day they got to looking for old brother Enoch, and they couldn't find him nowhere. And they said, and as young as his wife, they said, well, where did he go to? I don't know. He took off down the road this morning with God, and we ain't seen him since. Amen. Said he was he was communing with God. He was conversing with God. He was having a good time. He was rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And he went down the road, and he ain't come back. Amen. So they looked for him. He wasn't found. Praise God. And he said, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? His faith wasn't withered up. He had a soundness of faith, a soundness that real. Praise God. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Would you like to have a reward from the Lord? Just get to seeking Him. Get to looking for Him and you'll find Him. And when you find Him, I guarantee you, you can't. Hey, they never found Jesus if they didn't find a blessing. Amen. Because when you find Jesus, you find the blesser. Amen. And He pours it out on purpose. So if we want to be pleasing to God, we've got to have a faith that is unwithering. Amen. You say, well, where do we get our faith? They get our faith from the Lord. It's a gift. Amen. We've already mentioned this. If our faith is a gift from God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It don't come from you. Our faith comes from God because we know who He is. Amen. But I don't have a problem with who God is. Amen. He's God. The great I am, ego of me, the one and only, praise God. The eternal self-existent one who was before time and is going to be to the end of time. He's the beginning and the end. I don't have no problem with that. You know, it actually blesses my heart to know that He is all that. Now, if I had my hope in Muhammad or some of these others, I'd be questioning because he didn't make it very well. Just lived a few years and then went to the grave and they buried him and he's still there. His bones is dried up. But praise God, we're serving a God through faith, amen, that created the universe, sustains us, amen, and saved us by His marvelous grace. That by grace are you saved through faith and not yourself. It is the what? Gift of God. Amen. Salvation is a gift from God. So we got to hold on to it, and we're saved by faith, by just believing in what God has told us. Amen. The death, burial, and the resurrection. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what we do that gets us to heaven. Amen. It's not how good we are, how we change our lives. That's all important, because when we become children of God, we will change our lives. Our want-to changes. Amen? We don't want to do those things that will break God's heart. We want to do those things that will bring glory to His name. That'll uplift the brethren, encourage each other in the Lord. Amen. So it's not what we do, it's works of righteousness that He's done. Amen. When He hung on that cross of Calvary, He said, "It's finished." That work of redemption, praise God, was finished on Calvary. He went to the grave, He got up the third day, praise God, so that we might rise up in newness of life. But it's not us, it's not our righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness that we live in. Amen. It's not how good I can be, but it's Christ in me that makes me good. Amen. He makes me good. He allows me to do those good works because He moves in. He said, "For we are His workmanship." I mean, that's His workmanship. That's what He's doing. And said, "It's created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So it's Christ, it's the Lord Jesus Christ's workmanship. It's what He's done for us. He puts in us, praise God, it makes us what He wants us to be. And we're trusting not in our righteousness, but in His. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. We was talking to a sister before church about this. He said, but our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. It's His righteousness that we put on. Amen. That's why it's important that we receive Him unto ourselves, so that we receive the righteousness of God. That's what's right in the eyes of God, by the way. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What? In that workmanship of Christ. What? He's creating us, what He wants to make us to be. So our faith, we can't let our faith wither up, praise God, because we got it. But through our faith, we realize that the Lord, as the little children sing, He's still working on me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I don't care how old you're here today, whether you're 5 or 55 or 105, He's still working on you to make you what you ought to be. Not what you want to be, but what you ought to be. Amen. For God's glory. So we need to remember that we can't let our faith shrivel up, because we got to have faith to please God. We got to realize that our faith is a gift to be used by God for His glory. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. You still with me? Amen. So we see faith as something that we can't let wither away. Number two, we can't let our spirituality wither away. We can't give up our spirituality. Our spirituality is part of us. And He said, "They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth." And if we don't worship in the Spirit, if we don't have the Spirit of God, then we're none of His. But I'm glad, praise God, that we're begotten by the Word. We're begotten by the Word, which is the water, gotten by the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And it brings us into that envelope and that family of God. It brings us into a place where our spirituality is brought out in the open. It's not hidden no more. I don't know about you. I don't want to hide my spirituality in a corner. I don't want to hide my spirituality in a dark space. I want my spirituality to be a part of who I am. We see in John chapter 3, when He talks that when Nicodemus comes to Him, and Jesus tells him in verse 3, in John chapter 3, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. He said, if you're going to see the King, God said, you've got to be born again. That means to be born above, to be born anew, to be born of the Spirit of God. So we can't let our spirit, our spirituality wither, because when our spirituality withers, and it takes us away from God and what He wants us to be, what He's helping us to become. Amen. Praise God. You get that? He goes on and says in verse 5, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And He said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." So He said that's a born again is of the Spirit. And said, we can't allow a spirituality to wither away and become naught. Because the spirituality is part of the God part that moves into us to encourage us and give us that, praise God, to be what God have us to be. He's working on us through our spirituality. Now, our spirituality is a matter of the heart. Amen. It's a heart issue. It's an attitude, the attitude of our heart. See, a lot of times I think the problem that we have, the Bible says we must be born of the Spirit. He said if we're born of the Spirit, then we'll have the right attitude. Hello? There's a lot of folks sitting in Baptist churches, they need to check up because their attitude's bad. And if our attitude's bad, we need to check up because a bad attitude's not born of the Spirit. A bad attitude's born of the flesh. It's that first birth. Amen? We tend to get rid of the bad attitude when we get the new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can worship Him. But the Bible says we need that spirituality. We can't let it wither away because the only way we're going to worship God is in spirit and in truth. Amen? He said if we're going to worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So like He told the woman at the well. You remember John chapter 4. Let me just read something to you. John chapter 4, He told the woman at the well in verse 23. He said, but the hour cometh now is. Now she was talking about worshiping the Father. Amen. And she said, our fathers in verse 20 worshipeth in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said in verse 21, saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, that the true worshipers, did you get that? The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So He says here that we can't let our spirituality wither, because if our spirituality withers, then we can't worship God. Amen. We have to have a strong spirituality in order to worship God. In other words, we have to have a good attitude towards worship. Amen. Hello? A good attitude. You're sitting there looking at me like a calf eating sawbriars. Amen. Well, preacher, it's easy for you to be spiritual, but you know how hard it is for us to be spiritual. Amen. Hey, it ain't no harder for you than it is for me. Amen. We need to be spiritual, but we come with the right attitude for spirituality. Amen. Realizing that Christ in us, the hope of glory, amen. He lives in us and He's there to help us, praise God. And He loves us so many ways. He manifests it to us. He shows us. As Brother David says all the time, look, I thank God for my family. I don't deserve them, but I thank God for my family. Yeah. Amen. That's just God manifesting His love to us. And through the Spirit of God, He shows us His goodness. Amen. That should change our attitude. Amen. To an attitude of gratitude for God and His blessings upon us. And it should encourage us in our spirituality that we don't let it wither. Some things we can't allow to wither. We can't allow our faith to wither. Can't allow our spirituality to wither, praise God, because we need both of them, amen, to be strong in the Lord. We need our faith because that's where to work. We need our spirituality because that's where the help comes from. But also, this fella here that had the withered hand, I believe he was struggling maybe with both. A little faith, a little spirituality, maybe a little bit of desire. Amen. There's some things that we can't allow to wither. We can't allow our desires, our zeal for God to wither. Amen. We're living in a day of falling away. I'll just be honest with you. People's falling by the wayside every day. You look around us, you can go and begin to look around. You can find churches where they've closed the doors. You say, preacher, why? Because people quit coming. They had no desire for God or godliness. They decided to get their help somewhere else. God help them. There is no where else where you can get help except in the Lord, at the house of God. But there's churches all over the country that's closing their doors every week. Amen, because they don't have enough folk to keep the lights on. Why? Because people are losing their desire. You say, well, preacher, that'd never be me. That's what Peter said. He said, Lord, though they deny you, I'll never deny you. Lord, though I would die for you, I'll never deny you. Guess what? It wasn't but just a little while later, people were saying, I know him not. Finally, he said with a curse, I don't know who you're talking about, this man Jesus. Huh? Why? Because our desire, we can't let our desire wither away. We have to maintain that strong desire for God and godliness. We get that desire from the Word of God. It's an encouragement. It's a light into our path. Amen. It keeps the light on for us. It keeps us going. It gives us a direction. It gives us an objective. Without that, we have no means. There's no direction to go. You just kind of waddle around in circles looking for something that'll lead you out. But I want to say, God Almighty, praise God, we can't let our desire wither for Him. Because we lose that zeal, we lose it all. Amen? We lose our churches, we lose our homes, we lose our families, we lose our communities, our neighborhoods, we lose our nation. Amen? Can you see a picture starting to form? We see all this stuff that's coming in. We see all the stuff that the world's opened the doors and inviting in. And it's coming in a storm. Amen. It's coming. We don't want to admit it. If we don't think about it, it'd go away. But like Brother John was talking about this Sharia law and stuff that they're trying to bring in. I tell you, you ladies ought to be up in arms. You ought to be ringing your congressman and senator's phone and saying, hey, look, we're not a part of such wickedness as that. It'll take ladies back 150, 200 years. It'll put you at home. You won't be able to go out without your husband. You won't be able to drive a car. You won't be able to go out without your head covered. It's not a God, it's not a religion of love. It's a religion of hate. Amen. And if we lose our desire, if we lose our zeal for God, we allow all this stuff to come in. We become accepting because we don't know what's right. Amen? But some things that we can't allow to wither, our faith, our spirituality, and our desire for God and godliness. That's all that we have. And it grows out of a good foundation. In Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible talks about Jesus as He was sitting by the seaside. In verse 1, Matthew 13 says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and while the multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. He said that grain was sowed, that seed was sowed on hard ground, representing a hard heart. Amen. He goes on and he said, and the fowls came and devoured them up. He said, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. He said, this is that shallow ground, that shallow heart, where you take in, you hear the word, and you jump up and say, oh boy, this is good stuff, but you don't have no depth in the word, amen. And before you know it, praise God, he said, forthwith they sprang up because they had no depth, deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. And what? They withered away. See, we got to keep careful with our faith that we don't allow our desires to be withered away. We've got to get that deepness of root. We've got to get in the Word of God. We've got to allow the Word of God to put us in a place that we can't be persuaded. Yeah. Amen. You say, well, preacher, we ought to be able to be persuaded. No, we should never be persuaded away from our faith. We should never allow anything to cause us to defer from the Word of God. Amen. Everything that we should do, praise God, should take us deeper into His Word, that we might be more like Him. If not, we'll be withered away. He goes on to verse 7, said, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. That's that worldly heart. Amen. It gets out there and you think you can do it, but you get around the wrong crowd and they drag you back out into the thorn thicket. Amen. He said, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. He said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. He said, they some desires that we are to have, and those desires are to be to the Lord. To get those things that the Lord would have us to have in the days that we live. Amen. So that we can't, so that they don't wither away. But they'd be steadfast forever. Amen. So that old withered part. I'm double jointed, so I can do that. It's that old withered part. Amen. I don't want to be withered. I don't want to be made useless for God. Can't do much with that. But you know what? God said, hey, son, said, would you step forward? He said, there's that faith. Amen. Maybe his faith had got a little weak because he'd been made, he's having a hard time. Amen. Amen. He said, just stand forward. So just step forward a little bit. Come up here in the midst. He said, he stepped forward. That was his faith. And he said, do you believe I can do this? And he said, stretch forth the hand, oh boy. Stuck her out there. Amen. Praise God. He stuck it out there. That's faith. That's that spirit. That's believing. Praise God. And God touched it. It was made whole as the other. Amen. That very instant. And it gave him back the desires of his heart to be pleasing to God, to his family, to be useful again for the glory of God. See, there's some things we can't allow to wither up. We can't allow our faith to wither up. We can't allow our spirituality to wither up. And we can't allow our desires, our zeal for God to wither up. Amen. It needs to be stronger now than it's ever been. You say, preacher, how do we get there? By just committing ourselves to the Lord. And say, Lord God, here I am. This journey is, it's almost over. Brother Don, we're headed for the finish line in breakneck speed. And we want to finish well, don't we? Amen. So we just commit ourselves to the Lord, casting our cares upon. So Lord, we need some help. And we need some help now. And Lord, we're trusting You to get us through this mess called life and deliver us safe over yonder in a little while. And Lord, while we're waiting, Lord, please help us that we won't allow our faith and our spirituality and our desires, that zeal for You, to wither away to nothing. Amen. Because when we stand in the presence of God at that judgment seat of Christ, we won't be at the great white throne. That's going to be for old sinners, lost people, that brought up out of the depths of hell, judged and cast into the lake of fire. But we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of all the things we've done in this flesh. Amen. Praise God. All that we've done since we've been saved for the glory of God. So it might be put on our account. Amen. It's already there. Amen. But God's going to bring it out and He's going to reveal it. And like Brother Rex said, boy, I want there to be something on my account. Amen. I want the Lord to say that I was found faithful, full of faith. I was found spiritual. I was found with a godly desire. Amen. For the things of God and Godwardness. Amen. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. I wonder tonight what our vision is. What is your vision? Amen? Think about it a minute. What is your vision for you and your family? What direction are you going to go? He said, well, preacher, I think I'm going to go with the Lord. I think I'm going to stay in this thing to the end. Do you know that? Do you know it? You need to know. You need to make that commitment. Say, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to stay with You. Because someday somebody may knock on the door and say, hey, listen, are you a believer? And you need to be able to look between Beak and Bill and say, yes, sir, that I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. In peril of death, you can say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. So how do you do it? By not withering, not allowing our faith wither, by not letting our spirituality wither, by not letting our Godward desires wither away. But we're getting closer to Him day by day. Amen. Trusting in Him to help us in everything that we do and everything we are. All that we need. He's got all the answers. Amen.